Yes, for this is the entire speech. $1,400. So, all right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the meeting of the Orange County Veterans Advisory Council. We'll go ahead and start off the Pledge of Allegiance. Councilmember McDonald, would you be honest, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Everyone, please take their seats. County staff, would you please call the board? John Yurk. He's at his daughter's wedding this week, so definitely a good reason to miss. Eric Dwayne.
Present.
Alexis Federico. Here. Robert McDonald.
Here.
Michael Redigan.
Here.
Stephen Vargas.
Here.
Stephanie Wade.
Present.
We have quiet. All right, thank you. All right, so a couple of reminders for today's meeting. Phones to mute or vibrate at this time for the duration of the meeting. We're going to go ahead and proceed to the agenda with the exception of Councilmember McDonald, I believe, has a few words. Start off.
That's a point of information. I want to thank everybody for coming to the post, but I'd like to have our commander, Michael, say a few words about our post, please, sir. Well, you got your better than that.
We're just glad you're here. We need to do these kinds of things much more often. It helps to reach out within the community, and that's basically what we're about, is community and family. So we appreciate your time and all your efforts. Thank you.
Well, he's a shy Marine, but we want you to know that you're a shy Marine. I'm going to pick it up. I know I got a bunch of you guys in here. But anyway, we at this post, we share the post with two of the VBA, Vietnam Veterans of America. They meet on a couple, one of the Wednesdays. The DAB meets on one of the Disabled American Veterans, meets on one of the Wednesdays. And then another VFW post, the Bray, I believe, Bray and Wayne Park meet here. And then we have a submarine group that meets on a Saturday. And then we have the Buffalo Soldiers meeting on another Saturday. So we really take up pretty much of the community to come meet here. And again, thank you, and we appreciate you being here today. Thank you, Commander.
Thank you. Thank you again to post 3173. It's just fantastic that you can roll out. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen something decorated so well for an event like this. So thank you very much. So we'll go ahead and proceed with the agenda. We're going to move on to public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding agenda item or off-agenda item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the council, provided that no action shall be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Every speaker will have up to 3 minutes to address the council, and the county support staff will run the time for us and announce when your time has expired. So I have one public comment right now, but anyone can fill out the form. So if you would like to speak for your 3 minutes and you have not already, please go ahead. And I think the forms are way back there.
Yeah, I think probably.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, Nick, would you like to speak, please?
Sure. Hello, everybody. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. My name is Nick Berardino. I am the president of Valor. I'm here today, and Bobby wanted to have an update on the cemetery, so I do whatever he tells me to do. So while driving down the 5 freeway, he was thinking, shh, Bobby, can you have a cooler day to order me? But, you know, the cemetery has been, as you know, a project we've all been working on for many, many, many years. Certainly over the last 6 or 7 years, it's become, a real battle. Kicked out of Irvine on two different sites, after spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in, battles there. And then after getting kicked off the two sides, we went to Gypsum Canyon, and the Board of Supervisors have been working very closely with us. They're very proud to say that they put gave us $20 million. So that was a big get for us, which has helped us move this project along. And I think the interesting thing is that after we have been working 2 years in Anaheim, I mean, it's been, you know, relentless effort. You know, we developed a brand new project, which includes a place for first responders. And so that the project really expanded, which now this will be the first type cemetery of this kind anywhere in the world. So, you know, we're even, you know, beginning to hear from a variety of dignitaries because of the scope of the project and the fact that it's the first one ever in the entire world. So we've been working very hard. We just finished submitting, the state has submitted has selected the site, Gypsum Canyon, as the site. And after the selection, the state has filed with the VA, with the feds, for a $10 million grant, which we have to get that $10 million grant.
Speaker, you have 30 seconds.
Okay, well, there's a lot more about it. I don't know if that. So, okay, we're working hard on this, but there's a lot going on that Kathy should know about. But we can do it in another time as well.
If I could, Nick, so you mentioned $20 million from the county. How much have you got from the state?
State, so far, we have $30 million from the state. The governor, you know, I had very good conversation with Gavin. He was very candid. We made a request because they swept, as you know, because of this deficit, they swept all the non-allocated funds, but they kept ours. We were the ones that stayed. And in addition to keeping ours, we wrangled another $5 million.
So that's $30 million from the state and then $10 million fed?
$20 million from the $20 million from county. And the additional $10 million from the feds.
So far we're at $60 million.
If we get the $10 million.
If you get the $10 million. Okay, that's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Sure.
The note overall need is 130 to 150.
Well,
it's ongoing.
We're working with that $150 million number only because the state forces us to work with that number. That's not the number. We will realize probably close to $70 million in cost savings as a result of extending the project. So now with the county cemetery going in right next to us, then the county has agreed to pay, you know, the big bugaboo was $45 million for the utilities and that stuff. Well, the county's gonna pay for the $45 million for the utilities. And so all we got to do is plug in. So, and then the other big part was $65 million. I'm answering the question. $65 million for the grate. But we got the state to come out. And after the Secretary of Veterans Affairs came out, the Assistant Secretary, they really looked at it and said what we have been saying for a long time is don't grade, build on the upper shelf, which would then grade in 30 years because the upper shelf will keep us going for 70 years. And they agreed to it. So now that takes a big amount of money off the grade.
No, Nick, is there a email address somebody could subscribe to get your Valor updates?
Yeah,
I have a sneaking suspicion there is because I get them all the time.
If you email me at nickberardino68@gmail.com, Renee, don't look at me like I'm losing my mind. I can't come to me at gmail.com, and then we'll get you on that list.
The other piece that I wanted to add to is that Young Kim and Lou Correa have made a commitment to run, try to get that money from the federal government, which is really brilliant to have a Dem and a Republican to make sure it happens. So we got that bipartisanship making this thing work, which is excellent. Thank you.
Go ahead.
How would you like to see this council help out that effort if you were king for a day?
Well, you know, I'd be great candidate. I've had discussions with the CEO and the Board of Supervisors about this council, to be honest, about what can this council do in terms of both the cemetery and in terms of more community, you know, work, in terms of doing things for veterans, about setting goals and doing those things. And so I've met with the chair several times and we'll be meeting again in November with the idea of, you know, focusing, if we can get the council to help focus on the cemetery. You know, one of the things you've already done, which has been enormously helpful, has been sending letters of support. That makes a really big difference, because in Sacramento, this council's very, very, as well as here in Orange County, but in Sacramento, highly respected. So sending letters, many of you, you know, have come and attended the, all the, you know, we've seen some of you, we've seen a couple of you at all of them, at all the events, because that's, you know, always important. And the last thing we're, what we're thinking of doing, so we've now sent to the federal government a letter from the entire congressional delegation in support of the $10 million. We just sent a letter yesterday from the county Board of Supervisors, unanimous recommendation of $10 million. And we just sent a letter yesterday again with the entire Orange County legislative delegation for, you know, the $10 million. What we might need help doing is, I haven't told anybody yet, but I think what we ought to do is one more letter to the feds, which will be from all the city councils, and they all support it. And I think if we could do that, so we may need some help from some of you that may know the councils in your area.
May know guy.
And, you know, get and get that final letter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Madam Chair, it's not on the agenda, but I'll take that follow-up with Nick and help with that letter.
Okay.
That'd be a great time.
You get something on the agenda, and then you can action item sure. Next. Okay, great. All right, any other public comments? Going once, going twice. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for all of your hard work with the cemetery. And I certainly enjoy all the updates that I get. They're very informative and timely. So if you haven't signed up for the newsletter, please do. All right, we do not have any presentations or action items. For the executive committee report, I think what I have to report is, you know, we're finishing up kind of a dog day this summer. People are back to school, so things are getting more active. So something to keep in mind, you know, aside from all of the upcoming Veterans Day events, we also have our, at our November meeting, so not our next meeting in October, but the meeting after we have our election. So if you would like to serve on the council, just start as chair or vice chair, start thinking about that now. Okay, moving on to our OCVSO update. Mr. Inslee, are you giving that to us today?
Good afternoon. I don't know if you all know me. I'm Eric Inslee. I'm the County Veteran Service Officer. But in the previous meeting, Claudia had mentioned that we were, VSO was awarded the Mental Health Services Act, Prop 63, what we refer to it, grant for the next two fiscal years. So I want to introduce my colleague, Caitlin Lee, who is the Mental Health Services Navigator that will have. She'll be engaged with the VSO, with the case management and navigation services to a lot of our veterans and their family members who are having challenges navigating through our community system of care. To try and narrow some of the gaps in their experience, either getting access to other services or doing some care coordination with our community partners. It is a huge focus of a lot of veterans who experience crisis are trying to navigate multiple systems, and having Caitlin as part of the team to streamline some of that, including getting access, quicker access to the VSO and folks who are experiencing that barriers. She'll be working with a lot of our existing partners, OC for Vets and US Vets, to try and get sourced to the veterans on campus a lot quicker. They are also streamlined and get access to VSO for scheduled appointments. So she will be there to help them navigate through this process. And focus a lot of our attention on underrepresented populations, target populations like LGBTQ communities of color, Native American community. We see a lot of our veterans that don't know and engage with us from those communities as often. And we do not know what we have to navigate at this point to help us help them.
How does the screening process work? Like, at what point does, say, someone calls or someone schedules an appointment? How does the screening process, like, how do you get a hold of their files? Is there like a certain metrics that, so say someone has an appointment with you? Yeah.
So currently, what will happen, like everyone else, we already do this in our office already, where someone coming in with an appointment are informed about the behavioral health services that are available to them. So they ordinarily go to the U.S. Vets or claims representatives will then engage with them to address claims related to them. But having a navigator will all go through K-9s to follow up and connect with them to see what other services are out there, including those services for the county.
So someone comes in and say, oh, I have a claim, and then you're like, kind of the upsell and tell me, right? Like, here's all the services we have. We also have these mental health services. And then do they get your card? How do they get connected?
She'll make contact with them.
Okay.
You know, whatever that speaks down to involve with that in the mental barriers, yeah. It is to make it more and more barrier to their ability to gain access. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll call.
Everybody have any?
Welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here. I know it's been hard making it. I think we really appreciate that here when you're able to come.
Does anybody have any other questions for Eric?
Yes. You could wait till we get to ad hoc, but.
Do you want to just address that?
Yeah. So if you don't mind, Eric, we did some work and we put all our metrics together from the Big Voice for the last about 2.5 years. And we were looking for to compare with the staffing levels of, and particularly the qualified VSOs, so that we could see that when there's a spike and we compare to the staffing levels, you know, that we could say, oh yeah, we had plenty of people and they were actually, you know, out there engaged. And then when there's a lull, we could determine, well, that's just the summer season, or you know, people are out of school and, you know, the college fee waivers get dropped or whatever. So we're trying to compare so we can support the staff in the future. So we asked for that information about what was the staffing levels and what were the qualified VSOs for each of the months for the last 2.5 years. Did you see the report on the?
I did see. I saw the report. I'll get back to you on the specifics to it.
Yeah, no, it's just so we could get this, because it's not done yet, but for the staffing levels, then we could look at it and then make some, you know, kind of come back to you and then say, okay, well, you know, this is a high and this is a low. Here's your staffing levels. Does it compare? Or no, you could say, no, this is just because the summer season dropped off or whatever, or kids are back in school. That's why it increased. It's just so we could compare apples to apples. If you get those numbers, that'd be great. Staffing levels and qualified VSOs.
Could you guys share that with Claudia?
Yes, Claudia has all there. Thank you.
Okay, anything else? Any other updates? You guys? Okay. All right, onto the Calvet Link update. Mr. Gales, welcome.
Hey, Madam Chair, appreciate it. Good to be here, as always. First, definitely want to recognize Nick, Bobby, everyone here in support of the cemetery. Clearly, this is a long haul, to say the least, effort. You know, the only way this ever happens is because of the long haul commitment. It's an obvious point, but always worth making. You know, Eric, it kind of reminded me, raising this, that I'm not sure that we ever officially announced the renewal of the Calvet MHSA funds to support the student veteran outreach, legal services. So I wanted to briefly announce that we had some modifications when exactly that grant went into effect. We had that one meeting with Sacramento about that, but somewhat recently that's gone and that renewal has gone into effect, right?
It has, yes, effective July 1.
Okay. Okay, great. So that's exciting. And again, as Eric mentioned, that, you know, brings those services right to student veterans. That's a big focus of CalVet, that early intervention for transitioning veterans for claims access. And the VSO has long supported some of our bigger CalTAP events on campuses. We've had some really big draws on. Eric, where you were at that last one at Golden Quest, we've got 150 people, 150 veterans at that event. Another big piece of news out of CalVet right now, the California Veterans Health Initiative actually announced 2 years ago now. That's the money directly to provide mental health services to veterans. The grant period is closed, and the grants are expected to literally reward any day now. So the goal was actually beginning of August, but that's $38 million for mental health services. Very confident Orange County will be getting a chunk of that, and that's really important, because we obviously need more community-based health services beyond just VA. So that's a really good development. There's probably more funding coming out through CalVet and in different areas than I've seen in my 6 years here. Another big one that I'll be reporting on at some point. Not an earthquake. It's housing, Prop 1. So a lot of money coming through for veteran housing. I'll hold off on, you know, a little bit of speculation on exactly how that plays out. But once I have, you know, a little better detail on that, that'll be a big effort. There's a lot of money coming through on that. So that's great news. At a more local level, just looking at this month, a couple of big events. There's a big Orange County stand down, veteran stand down at the Tierney Center for Veteran Services. That's going to be on September 13th. That was a huge showing last year, very effective. If anyone needs more information on that, if you're not getting those emails, I can certainly share that flyer to reach out to me. Or I guess I could even send it to, I guess, Eric or whoever to be distributed to everyone. Is that a good practice, Stephanie?
Very good, sure.
Yeah. And then also on the topic of housing, so the Orange County Veterans and Military Families Collaborative has roughly 3 general meetings every year. And so on September 12th will be a big general meeting on housing for veterans. So September 12th, the time is 2:30 at the Tierney Center for Veteran Services. Bex, help me with her last name. Thank you, Stephanie. From United Way, we'll be presenting at that, a couple other presenters too, so it should be good. And then just to follow up, kind of related to housing on something that I had to miss the last meeting, but the one before that, which I guess, I don't know when exactly that was, we brought up the question of homeless veterans who are choosing not to accept housing because their pets are not allowed, okay? And so anytime, I remember the OCVAC was interested in that, anytime, you know, we take a step to move on something, I don't want to let it go, right? I want to make sure we continue forward with it. So, you know, Stephanie reached out to Melanie Martins, who's a senior VA housing social worker, wonderful person, got some info from her. But my recommendation was, at this point, what I've learned since then is there's a lot of different potential solutions on the table for that problem. Okay, it's not just going to the facility and saying, hey, let the animals in. You know, there are different ways to get the animals approved. There's a range of things. So my suggestion to Stephanie was that we get this on the agenda for the next meeting of the Housing Committee of the Collaborative, which I will get that on the agenda. That's not going to be hard. And then we make sure we get the range of those solutions. So we're not just working with one or two, but the OCVAC can then be provided with a range of potential solutions. And then you can make decisions what action you'd like to take, perhaps looking at that range. So that would be my thoughts for how to proceed with that issue that we decided to work on earlier.
So that would be the September 13th stand-up?
Well, no, I think that the September 12th general meeting, well, we could certainly talk to people there. I don't think I'm not going to try to put it on the agenda. That's going to be a meeting of maybe 100 people there. That's kind of pre-planned. I mean the committee meeting. So the next time there's a committee meeting, which should be the following month, you know, which is usually that meeting of 10 to 15 folks that focus on housing. I will get it back on the agenda for that meeting, attempt to get those solutions presented, and then those can be brought back to the OCVAC so that we can move forward on that issue.
On the two events that you mentioned, is there any confirmed or requested attendance by the board?
I think that would go without saying. Yes, that the organizers, the collaborative, would absolutely want the OCVAC there.
So, well, the board of supervisors, any board supervisors that have said, you know, you've already talked to, requested to be there, or anything like that.
I'm sorry, I just asked you a question. The board of supervisors has done what again?
Have you requested any of those folks to be there?
Oh, I think I jumped to the idea that you would be the representation for the board. No, I don't think that, I'm not really aware of the collaborative information for the direct invitations to
Supervisor
offices.
Yeah.
You know, I think my perspective on that would be to give you the information, and perhaps you could extend the invitation, or those that work with supervisors, obviously you all do, but so the collaborative could do that. You know, I could bring that back to the group, and we could try to develop those more direct connections if you think that's a good idea.
No, I think what you were referring to, correct me if I'm wrong, is for the other events you mentioned, so not the
The stand-up?
Yes, like the stand-up, sure, and having
You mentioned two events, one on the 13th, one on the 12th.
Right, yeah. So the 3rd, the 12th is the house, and the 13th is the stand-down. So Jane Smith is the primary organizer of the stand-down. She now works at a place called Sarah Health. She was at the Tierney Center for many years. So I would be happy if you wanted to give me a list of suggested email contacts or attendees. I can share that with Jane and ask her to invite them.
I mean, it's your show, so it's really kind of up to you. If you don't feel, if you feel like this is something appropriate or is important that the board attend, potentially we can.
Well, I think I'm open to the idea. I have not thought of that, but I think if you all think that's a good idea, we can do that.
I mean, Katrina Foley has attended collaborative events and is interested, but you'll also, if you invite each of the supervisors, you'll probably get a rep, you know,
sure,
to attend, and that gets communicated back.
It's really a good in addition, though. I think we should go to your recommendation, see what's going on.
We'd also appreciate an invite.
Yeah.
Us too.
Right, sure. Yeah.
You're probably right on this.
So, yeah, if you could provide us with the 5 W's for each of those events, we'll maybe we can make that.
Do I send it to Stephanie?
Or you can send it to Monica, and then Monica can send it to all of us, so we're not directly communicating. However, yeah, I think maybe send it to her, and she can send it to us.
Yeah, if you guys are
wrong,
to
see
what
the night
send it out. Yeah.
Best way to do it.
Okay, good. Okay. That's it. Any other questions for me on anything going on?
There's a point, I get a point of information. We represent those of us that, well, we represent the board, so we should have an access for each one of us to our representative office as a supervisor. I should be able to get to Wagner or some of the people there to make sure we got some money, so that's cool. But that's on us too. Okay. That's good.
Okay, all right. Moving on to committees. So the Communications Standing Committee, and Council Member Burick is again at his daughter's wedding this week. Does anyone have any report in his place? No? Okay, moving on to events outreach.
So nothing really additional. I think what I was trying to get across with those event things, it's a perfect example. If you feel like the board of supervisors would help bring attention to your event, if you feel like as a group here that that is a good use or could be effective, then if you provide that information to the board in a more formal manner, maybe invite out and get better participation. So that's if there's any other events that folks know are coming up in the next couple of months here, if you'd like to add those to the meeting minutes, now's a good time to do that.
Yeah, and it's always very helpful to have reminders like this because not everyone is on the email. We get a bunch of email and then you miss it because you're out. And so we appreciate you reminding us and keeping on top of us through events like this. All right, VSO metrics. Anything in addition to your previous comments?
No, just to stop the info, move forward with more evaluation.
All right, thank you. And the Veterans Pets Ad Hoc Committee?
So I think Cal Vet pretty much gave my report, but I'll just add a couple of details. So John and I have been working with Melanie, and I think that's primarily. So essentially what we found out is, first of all, that group of veterans that turned out housing is to have pets. It wasn't that the housing didn't accept pets. It was that the housing required that the pets be licensed, have their shots, and be up to date. So we think that's, if that's really the obstacle, it's probably fixable. I've been trying to get more data, and you know, if it were county health data, I think it would be easier. I think Max could have already gotten it to me, but it's going through VA, and you know, Melanie, to her credit, has been trying to get it at VA, but they have a list that does differentiate that data, and they're trying to find out that they don't have to play I've Got a Secret. And so it's been an ongoing process that probably should have pushed a little harder, but it's been, there've been several emails about trying to get the information of how many veterans on that list from last year turned down housing because of pets. I still don't have that number, but I also need to do, John and I both need to do more work on reaching out to Patriot Laws, also the county shelter, to just have some preliminary conversations to see what groups work with pets already that could provide those kinds of services. That's
basic. Steph, I just had a conversation with my neighbor, and he mentioned that a pet license is $65, but for senior it's $15 at the county. So perhaps it'd be good to encourage them to say, well, poor veteran, you're 55, poor veteran, you get $15. Okay, that's helpful.
I think that is, and I also think in terms of housing, if this is affecting veterans that aren't accepting shelter because their vets aren't up to date with their shots, that's a ridiculous reason not to be getting people housed. And I'm cognizant that sometimes there are excuses why people aren't accepting houses, and maybe the vet's an excuse, but still, it does seem to be a significant obstacle to a number of veterans. Hopefully there's going to be some way to make this a first to veterans, of course, but why should anybody who's unhoused, who's being offered housing, not accept the house because their furry family member can't get into the house with them because of shots? Like, I'd like to see if there's some ways through some county organizations that that could be available to anybody working with any of the three housing authorities so that they could get, you know, pets taken care of when they're offered housing.
Well, the county's got to be the ones. I got to imagine they have some type of either JP or other organization where they set the licensing prices. Like, I know down in San Clemente, Dana Point, they have a JP with the two cities, and they're the ones who vote and set the prices. And I know for a long time they remained steady, and then they were like, oh, we have to keep up with the times, and it's been a significant jump. But I've got to imagine there's a way for them to waive or set lower prices, as you've suggested with that. Also, I know that there are a lot of organizations that have low-cost vaccine clinics that would also be willing to probably either fund or have an even greater discount. Like, even the Feed Barn down in Dana Point has low-cost vaccine days, as well as the local shelter. And I know other organizations around Orange County do as well. And I know you're focusing mostly on Orange County, but I think, you know, that's the biggest problem to tackle. But it's interesting because the different licensing requirements are depending on where you live. And so if you're struggling to find housing, like in Mission Viejo, it has a separate shelter with different, you know, the licensing goes through that specific shelter versus like OC Animal Care.
And I think if we can get it on the agenda of the housing group, specifically this topic, I think it's pretty reasonable. I think we can wrap this up with recommendations in a report to OCVAC for the November meeting.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And Ben, you work with the OC stand down?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah. So I've been to a couple of those, and I know that there's haircuts and there's, you know, clothing and other amenities that are available to veterans. Is there any type of pet stuff and that, you know, could you suggest it?
It's a great idea.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
I'll bring that to Jay. Good idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Okay, moving on to council comments. Just want to start with Councilmember McDonald, work down the line.
Well, thank you. Again, Madam Chair, thank you all for coming to meeting here. I was hoping to go a little longer, but we get to the agenda and move on. Want to thank you all for coming and being here at the Post. I do want you to know that we do have a Veterans in Business mixer program this evening with the supplier diversity for procurement with Southern California Edison. And then also I have the veterans group from Disney, which is Salute, and we have the veterans group from Metropolitan Water District coming to speak about procurement and jobs and opportunities. So again, each one of those groups, Edison, Disney, and Metropolitan Water District, they have veterans groups in there, so we're bringing those people in to see them from 5 to 8. So you're both welcome to hang around if you like. But this is it's an opportunity for us to get some information out. Of course, Boss Camp has got his group coming in from his community colleges. So just an opportunity on a yearly basis for us to match and meet with the different communities. It was interesting. Another note, it was interesting at the VFW convention in Louisville this year. A couple of weeks ago, I got a chance to meet with some other people, and I ran into a couple of people that were the United States student veterans. And it was interesting to have a conversation with one of the people about Cameron Cook over at Cal State Fullerton, who now has his doctorate. So, I mean, again, wherever you are, this just seems to be popping up in our county. Again, like Nick mentioned earlier, and we talked about, it's just really cool to have Lou Curry and young Cam and being involved, and they both coming up soon. They both will be introducing a new post office for veterans, and I'll keep you in the loop on that. That's getting ready to come. So, I mean, a lot of things are happening here in the county that I'll be able to pass on to you, especially with the, again, as we move forward, every second Friday of the month, we have a steak night right here. This place is buzzing. We're averaging now 175 steaks that we sell on those Friday nights, which is great for the community. It's great for us. It's great for the election year. But the thing is, we try to open it up to the community, and that's how you see how it is here and how we set it up and how we work with us. We try to do a lot, and this is a great place to get some information and stuff out. Okay. And again, I just want to thank you for kind of allowing me to host you today.
The only thing I really have is the CalVet Leadership Summit is coming up October 6th through 9th. It's in San Diego, so it's pretty close, I need to get to. I know I'm trying to go, and so what I can do is I can send Monica the flyer I have for that, so we can send it around to everyone if you want to attend. And then I also wanted to ask Eric, what are the dates for the county VSO's fall conference?
The virtual conference is October 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th.
Thank you. If you could send that around too, so that you know about that.
Stephanie, I'd be happy if a couple representatives, you know, like to present that idea to headquarters for attendance at the summit. I'd be happy to share that thought.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Well, the summit is roughly is by invitation only.
Oh,
and if you're back interested in attending, I think that'd be fun. I'd be more than happy to. I don't think that's going to be a problem at all. And if there are a couple members who would like to represent, let's just do that. I can set that up.
I'm already in.
Same. Anybody else want to go?
I'm already in, so. But I can pass on some names if somebody wants to go. You've got to have friends in high places, as opposed to high friends in low places.
That's how we get stuff done.
Yeah, baby.
All right, so if you're interested, maybe you can reach out to Ben.
Yeah, please. Absolutely.
Please
yeah.
Do. Thank you.
Okay. Nothing bad. Folks, so I'm enjoying my second month of retirement, and so I, first time in 25 years, have a beard. My cleaning lady said I look old, so I'm going to shave it off this week. But it's been fun. And the only other thing I had was I have a friend that had proposed a war for the Girl Scout, their daughter, and so she has about a half a shed filled with flags that they've been collecting, and so she's asking me to help. Find a place to burn them. I just met your vice commander, Daniel, they're burning them out there right now. It's a small amount that they incinerate. And they can only do it so many times, just the AQMD rules and everything. But if anybody else knows about how to get rid of, how you burn honor flags, I could use that information. I already got his contact, and we're going to do something here.
So if you want to talk to me offline, I've started a program that's recycling flags.
Oh.
Which they're doing a great job here in the sense that that incinerator is a much healthier way for vets to, I mean, usually they're burned, but if you're just burning them in open pits, this is precisely what's gotten some of the veterans sick. So that's great that they invested 4K in that, but still the plastic particles are like, the microplastic is still in the atmosphere after they incinerate it, so we're working on a recycling project as well.
We'll get together with you.
Yeah.
I've been told we don't burn flax here, we tire.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I've been corrected, so I'm sorry.
Good.
All right, well, speaking of transitioning to civilian life, BLI is hosting a Military Families Transitioning to Civilian Life, Navigating the Financial Challenges. I think they're co-presenting with Bank of America September 4th from noon to 1 at the Tierney Center. And then also, because I'm plugging BLI, because they do so much important legal work for veterans around Orange County, they're hosting their 2024 Lawyers for Warriors event, which is November 15th at 6 p.m. So you can go on their website, purchase their tickets. But also, if you know anyone who would like to sponsor, or any business that would like to sponsor, again, you know, we do a lot of important work for veterans around Orange County, so please consider it. That's all I have.
Awesome. So Waves of Valor is holding their next event on September 7th, and that's for veterans to go and get free surfing lessons. It's kind of a cool thing. It's going to be at Huntington Beach. If you have any interest, I can turn you towards Team Red, White, and Blue, Jody Merkel. I think a lot of us know Jody in Orange County. She's also the state representative for RWV. I've been doing a lot of events with RWV. Also for Patriots for Cause, Stephanie, let's talk after. I know Penny Lambright. I was just with her on Saturday, so we can hopefully attack that from another angle as well. And that's all I've got.
Well, what's the date for the Ways for
September 7th. Yeah, I would be there because I have a new hit, so I'll be on an Alaskan cruise. So.
Okay, any saved rounds? No, well, that concludes today's agenda. The next meeting is October 9th at 2 p.m. The location is TBD. I believe Councilmember Burke is trying to coordinate something with Mission Viejo, so we've been hopping north and south. But, you know, in the event that any of you would like to propose an idea, just please let me know if we can get that. And if not, then we'll go ahead and make sure we send out that, solidify that location.
And we're still going to go back to Newport at some point?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you maybe want to do that, coordinate that for next month since?
Yeah, we can do that. Let me see what the schedule for 291 is, the Legion there.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. And again, 2 p.m., so it can give county staff plenty of time.
You said 2 p.m.
on
the Legion, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Adjourned.
291, and I'm like, it's better, but I just want to spoke to